Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, stranger! The Opus is moving out and into a new season as we continue to explore the ongoing legacy of music's most iconic records. I'm your host, Adam Unz, and this season we're celebrating the 45th anniversary of Billy Joel's fifth studio album, The Stranger, a record whose critical and commercial success catapulted the piano man to superstardom. Helping us explore this classic collection are artists like Billy Joel's drummer Liberty DeVito, Regina Spektor, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, Rozzy, Lissy, The Arkells, Bayside's Anthony Renari, and Ben Folds. Great music shapes lives, shakes rafters, and embeds itself into our culture. So let's find out why only the good die young as we deep dive into The Stranger. The new season is out now and is brought to you by the Consequence Podcast Network and Sony Legacy Recordings. Find us at consequence.net or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Consequence Podcast Network. Hello, and welcome to the Spark Parade, where I geek out with artists and entertainers about their cultural spark of inspiration. I'm Adam Unz at Spark Parade on all social media. Thanks ever so much for joining me. Another week, another amazing guest. Will this trend ever stop? No, never. My guest today is actor Brian J. Smith, who spoke to me about his spark, Ashghar Farhadi's incredible Oscar-winning film, A Separation. Brian is such a smart, thoughtful guy, and it was really lovely chatting about another film that I love so much. It's a film that examines a lot of really complicated issues, so we really got into it. Fair warning, if you have not seen A Separation, we are going to spoil the entire fucking thing, just in case that's an issue for you. Okay, anyway, let's get down to business. Quick Brian facts. Plano, Texas native Brian J. Smith is an actor known for his roles as Will Gorski in the Netflix-produced series Sense8, Lieutenant Matthew Scott in Stargate Universe, and for his Tony-nominated role as Jim O'Connor in the 2013 revival of The Glass Menagerie. He can currently be seen in the FX on Hulu limited drama series Class of 09, which also stars Brian Tyree Henry and Kate Mara. The series focuses on the transformation of the U.S. criminal justice system as it is altered by the rise of artificial intelligence. So check it out, why don't you? Quick A Separation facts. A Separation is a 2011 Iranian film written and directed by Ashghar Farhadi. It focuses on an Iranian middle-class couple who separate, the disappointment and desperation suffered by their daughter due to their egotistical disputes, and the conflicts that arise when the husband hires a lower-class caregiver for his elderly father who suffers from Alzheimer's disease. A Separation won numerous awards upon its release, including the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film, becoming the first Iranian film to win the award. And there you have it. time to move swiftly along to the good stuff. Here comes my chat with Brian J. Smith about a separation. Do you remember being turned on to this movie, hearing about it the first time, seeing it the first time?
I think I found this movie by accident, actually. I was probably doing what a lot of us do on a, you know, off night, like just trying to find something to watch. I think this popped up on the Criterion channel, which is like my favorite place to find movies. I don't know. I went for it. I didn't know anything about it going in. I didn't read any reviews or, you know, check out Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that. So I went in totally cold and was really just blown away. I think for me, what I love so much about it is that there's a real, real consistent moral center in the movie without making anybody into a bad guy. And, you know, I think like really great films are empathy producing machines. And, you know, when someone can make a movie where you can't really pin down one person as wrong or bad, that to me is like really what film and theater and novels can do the best, which is make you look at other people and realize that everyone's carrying something, everybody's dealing with something. And if only we tried to understand that more, we might be a little bit more forgiving and we might be able to get along together a little bit better.
Right. Yeah. I think there are so many incredible, amazing, complex things about this movie. But one of the things that strikes me the most, just kind of as a starting point, is in some ways it's very small. It's like a small number of people, a small number of settings. It's very intimate. But the issues that are raised are so huge, and there's so many of them. I read a review that said the film progresses like a flower opening, that it's like starts out with this one little thing where it's like this couple getting divorced or separating. Even that is complex. But then as it goes on, it's like, I'm rambling on, but so much complexity in a story that is really at its core about a handful of people, which I find really, really fascinating and is another indication of how masterful this film is and a testament to the filmmaking.
Yeah. It's also like really interesting because I think a lot of times like films engineer sympathy and empathy for the main character by establishing really, really, really strong antagonists. Mm-hmm. Who you just like, you know, automatically sense or are made to believe that they are just bad and they are a force of evil battling this force of good in this story. And in this case, there's just none of that, right? It's every single one of these people are just so human and they have their own complex matrix of, you know, desires and needs and backstories. And they're all just kind of like brought into conflict and it's just crazy situation where, you know, no one is really, really right. You can't, it's constantly playing around with your expectations of who's the bad guy. Like, we want that so bad in a story. Mm-hmm. You watch a film like this, like you realize like how badly we desire to have a villain. And they just absolutely refuse to deliver that on this film. And I think it's why it's so human, is because almost every single situation that people find themselves in is totally unmoored from any sense of right or wrong or, you know, good or bad, villain, hero, right? We're, if we really are honest with ourselves, everyone has their reasons,
right,
for what they do. And it's just amazing to me, actually, that there's not more films like this, that there's not more writing like this that really tries to illuminate that. Because to me, it's such an important theme, and it's something that like really can change the way you like go out and live your daily life. Mm. You know, I mean, if you can watch a movie that makes you like a little less likely to snap on the subway or a little bit less likely to judge someone who you think is like totally not like you at all. I don't know. I think it's movies like this that really have the opportunity to change the world for the better. I know it's like sounds so Pollyanna-ish. But it's really important. You know, it's very rare you see a film that can actually make things better.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's this, I guess it is quite a human, natural human desire to want things to have easy answers, to be able to like compartmentalize things and be able to say this is right, this is wrong. Especially when it comes to filmmaking, maybe there is a desire generally from people to say, I want somebody to dictate to me what I'm supposed to feel about this, or at least to have like a narrow band of the interpretations that are possible. And with something like this, not only is the film not telling you who's right or who's wrong or passing judgment on anybody, but everyone's motivations, there are multiple motivations for each thing. They act selfishly and selflessly, sometimes in the same moment.
Yeah.
And it's this, it's so intense. It's so like panic inducing for something that is, again, like a quite a languid drama. There are so many moments that are just like, oh my fucking God. Oh.
I know. It just, you squirm.
Right.
Yeah. I also think it's a really interesting look at the justice system in Iran. I mean, the way that these divorce courts are set up, and then even the way that these, you know, sort of criminal trials are set up, you know, like, it's just fascinating to think how this would have unfolded in America.
Right.
And the way our whole justice system with judges and juries and appeals and lawyers and all that. I mean, this is, you go to a courtroom out there and you're in a hallway with all these other people with all these other conflicts, and there's the police are there just keeping order, but you walk into a room and you literally stand in front of a judge who's sitting at like a fold out table who's been doing this for, you know, like 8 hours already all day, and is like meeting out justice in this actually really fast, streamlined way. I just thought it was so fascinating how these conflicts are adjudicated right over there.
And also how terrifying it is when you're talking about somebody who's being accused of murder, and the way that the judge can be swayed by one witness with like them, it's their word against the person who's being accused, but still saying, if this person says you did this thing, then you are guilty. Crazy to me. Yeah. I mean, and it is, it's like, that brings up all these other issues of just like cultural difference and, you know, how Iranians feel about their own government, how they feel about religiousness versus secularism, how gender comes into play, you know, family relationships, all of these things. And it doesn't feel overloaded. It feels very natural because all of these complexities are part of human existence.
Yeah. It's a miracle. I really do think the movie's a miracle. You wonder, like you said, how they managed to get all of these conflicts in there and the way they can get it to unfold in this like totally organic way in the story. Like, it doesn't feel like it's written at all. It's one of these movies, you feel like you're watching it, and it just is unfolding the way in the confusing, messy, sometimes terrifying way that these things can unfold in real life. And then to watch it unfolding in this judicial system that is very novel, I think, for like most Americans or, you know, people in Western society, it just makes it even more fascinating.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we could spend a year picking apart all the different issues that are a part of this, but the other aspects of the legal system that are kind of brought to the fore, a divorce court.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the small criticisms that I've read of the movie is people saying that it's actually much harder for women to get a divorce in Iran than is implied, that it's not something that could easily kind of go either way if they can give a solid reason, that that's not necessarily how it happens all the time. But even in the way that it's portrayed in the movie, yeah, it's still a bit more like, we're going to hash this out right here and make a decision right now based on what we're saying in this conversation, which is a very different way of handling things.
Right. Right. I think for me too, like the divorce proceedings and the way that they handle divorce to me was always, I really felt a personal connection to it. I was very moved by it. I mean, my own parents went through a really, really bad divorce when I was 16. You know, my two siblings who were much younger were involved. And I remember going to like the custody hearings and I had to get up on stand and it was questioned by the lawyers for my dad and questioned by the lawyers for my mom. Because they were trying to get custody of my, my two younger brothers and trying to figure out where they would go. And, I that little girl in this film is just so spectacular, right?
Yeah.
And I don't understand how you get a performance like that out of a child that age. All I know is that watching her go through that and being torn, between her parents in such a wrenching way. And then that genius, like last scene of the film, right? Where she's in some way left to decide, how things are going to go. It's just so heartbreaking. And I think anyone who's gone through a divorce as a child would really, really find this to be very cathartic.
Right, right. And the girl who plays the daughter is the director's daughter in real life. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And like so brilliant and so natural. And you really believe that she's in this situation as kind of, being pulled in two directions by her parents. It's an incredible performance. I think one of the best performances in the movie.
Yeah.
And she's, it's a relatively small part, all things considered.
Yeah. Child actters on film, man. It's like, just that old, when people say it's like never get on stage with a child or an animal, because they're just so fascinating. It's interesting. There's always like this age, like right before kids become too aware and too self-conscious, mm-hmm. that they can be so fascinating on camera. I always thought it's one of the, I've seen this in myself, that you definitely lose something the older and wiser, more complex you get, that there is this total malleable quality that kids at just the right age can have on camera, right? Where like their imaginations are completely unencumbered and they can just believe that they're in this situation in spite of the fact that there's a camera crew and your dad over there directing and these two people pretending to be your parents, right? There's something that it's so unencumbered about kids that I think that actors after a certain point, it's like you're spending the rest of your life trying to get back to that mindset that you had at a certain age. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of a terrible thing that we lose that.
Right. Yeah. And, the film is really bookended by the divorce proceedings, and having this girl in some ways be the catalyst for everything that happens in the entire movie. And it's this kind of butterfly effect thing that's like, because the mom wants to take her out of the country and the dad wants to stay, there is friction there and he has to hire a babysitter and blah, 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 blah. Like all of these things happening because of this one dispute, again, just puts that enormous pressure on that performance for a child. And she really, really pulled it off.
Yeah. I also really love the way that they navigate her changing relationship between the two parents. Obviously, at the beginning of the film, she's a daddy's girl,
mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to go with the mother. She doesn't want to, she's not very close to the mother at all. And it's interesting how the child finds out certain things or starts to intuit certain things that her father says about this, sort of central event in the film. And she starts to see him in a different way. And I'm getting the chills thinking about it. It's so heartbreaking to see this little girl kind of have her illusions about her own father just dissolve in front of her eyes,
mm-hmm.
through this whole thing. Again,
yeah.
Something else is just so incredible about the writing and then about what she brings to that performance. It's a miracle just on every level. This is like one of those, I've done a lot of stuff. I've been in a lot of TV shows and, done some independent films and stuff. I've done theater. And like, I can tell you even just to have something work on the most basic level, I don't think people get how lightning in a bottle difficult that is to do. Making just a basically good movie that just holds together is a feat. But to make a movie that just every single scene, every frame, every performance, everything is just humming and working perfectly in unison on a film where they're shooting everything out of order. And it's a miracle. Like, it really is a miracle.
Time to stretch our little legs, but we'll be right back after the break.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And, you know, not forgetting, it's being made in a country where censorship is, like, you know, the guidelines within which you have to work to make a movie are so strict. And this film was even kind of on the borderline as to whether it was going to be allowed to be released. And doing all of that and actually being critical of the Iranian government, of Iranian aspects of Iranian society, or at least looking at them through a critical lens that you wouldn't imagine would be something that would pass the censors. It's testament to how delicately all of this stuff is handled.
Yeah, it really reminds me of, you hear the stories of, like, I believe it's Shostakovich, is trying to, compose music in the Soviet system. Right. I believe, like, in the, 40s, 50s, I guess. Right. Mm-hmm. And the sort of gymnastics that he had to perform in order to get his music approved by the Soviet censors and the sort of art judges of the time is really miraculous. And in some way kind of became a part of his art. The way that he tricked them into thinking that he was following the rules when in fact he was just, like, totally subverting them, right? Because they were not that smart. He was much, much, much smarter than them. I wonder if there was a little bit of this involved as well. This filmmaker was just knew exactly how to toe the line while still making a film that if you think about it, yeah, is very critical of that society.
Right. And, having a secular couple who are kind of middle class and a very religious couple who are very poor. But then, there are those moments, like the very beginning when the divorce court stuff is happening and the woman says, "I want to take my daughter out of here because I don't want her to be raised in this environment." And the judge is like, "What do you mean by that?" And it's just silence. And so just, like, kind of implying meaning. But even that, to me, I was, like, shocked that something like that would have passed the censors, because it seems, to my mind, reasonably explicit, even though there isn't anything explicit said.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. I could just go on and on about this movie. I think I've seen it 3 times now. I might watch it for a 4th time here pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's really just a kind of a miracle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess also just outside of all of the kind of broader issues that we've talked about, the humanity underlying everything, and the thing that really stuck out to me in that respect is the relationship between the husband and his father, who has Alzheimer's, that I guess, you know, in some ways that could be seen as the catalyst for the whole thing. And, you know, my dad had early onset dementia before he died, and knowing what how horrendous it is to care for someone who is disappearing before your eyes, can't care for themselves in any way anymore. And just the physical exhaustion of having to, you know, pick up an adult man and dress him and bathe him. And, you know, there's that scene where he's like bathing his dad and is just like totally destroyed by what's happening.
Right.
And so many moments like that, that are, even if you don't have that exact experience in your life, you can empathize with what that person is going through, because everybody has something that has felt that devastating, or just relating to really wanting to care for the people you love and not wanting to abandon them when things are tough.
Yeah. It's interesting that there's not any, I maybe I'm getting this wrong, but I can't remember any discussion in the film about, you know, sending the father into some kind of a care facility or a hospital. And I don't know if that's because such things just are not available there, or if they are available, that they're so horrendous that the idea of putting your, you know, loved one in a situation like that is just not even an option. But there also, too, it's probably possible that I think that I do get the impression that this is a very traditionalist society. And I think the idea of you take care of your elders.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that they took care of you when you were growing up, that I wonder if that's just something that is a given. It's just a sort of an accepted value out there. But it's interesting that those scenes with the father are just, yeah, absolutely, absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in so many ways, there are so many things about it that are heartbreaking. I mean, the other couple, you know, dealing with a miscarriage, being saddled with debt and threatened with, you know, the man being threatened with imprisonment because of their debt, it completely discounting everything else that's happening, just the stress and worry and upset.
Because you could just easily, again, I think any other writer, any other director, any other film would have stopped with the fact that guy is, you know, a domestic abuser, right? And they do this very, very brave thing, which is to not at all condone it, but to say what's underneath it. Why is he so violent? And why is he so, you know, such a dangerous character to that wife? And you don't necessarily, of course, you know, you don't sympathize with the fact that he, you know, was probably responsible for her miscarriage on some level, but you understand the conditions that are in place that make someone like that so desperate and so unhinged. You know, I think we can all in some way relate to like feeling so powerless in our lives that we've done absolutely stupid things. Whether it was just on a micro level, like a very small thing of like saying something cruel or snapping at someone, or, you know, whether it's been, you know, bigger things like major life things that you regret. And of course, we live in a society, we have to we can't have those things happen. People have to not hurt each other. But I think the film is making a much deeper point about the things that are in place that drive people to be that way. And that's again, just a tribute to the way this film is designed.
Right. And as we were saying before, just not passing judgment on anyone, understanding that everybody's life, everyone's situation, all of those things are so much more complex than a black or white. It's so kind in so many ways. It's such a forgiving way to look at the world. And, you know, in thinking about the way that it relates to the American justice system, where somebody does something, even if they have committed a horrendous crime and it is accepted that they did it, they admit to it, examining what led them to make that decision, what led them to commit that act, and, this old adage that, you shouldn't, that the worst day of your life shouldn't be the thing that you are judged on for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That kind of mentality that it's like, really allowing people to, making space for, the humanity of every person, and really allowing their story to be something that's worth being told.
Yeah. Yeah. And something also too about mercy, for some reason I thought about, The Merchant of Venice with this movie, and about like what role forgiveness plays when terrible, things happen and people do things that, kind of deserve punishment. I think about Portia's speech in the courtroom, like the quality of mercy is not strained. Right. And, I think it's a really potent discussion to have, especially today, because I do think that we are all in a very vengeful mood right now, especially with, cancel culture and, we've got, people, I think on the extreme left and people on the extreme right, who are just kind of fighting over everybody else's heads and demanding, absolute justice for their side, And I think that films like this are important because it reminds us that, the zealots don't really understand something very fundamental about the human experience, which is that it is complicated and that it is messy and that, if you're a human being and you're going through it, there's someone else who's going through it too or has. And just a little bit of mercy, a little bit of grace is maybe what we need right now than more raised voices and more strict, rigid moral codes that demand punishment all the time.
Yeah, agreed. I think that is a lovely note to finish on. This has been really wonderful.
Oh, great.
I really appreciate you making time for me. I've really loved talking about this with you.
Well, thanks. It's fun.
Thank you so much again. This has been absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
My pleasure. Big fan of the podcast. Thanks a lot. This is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Admit it. That was a good one, wasn't it? I'm pretty consistent with the incredible content. Thanks again to Brian for such a wonderful conversation. Check him out in Class of 09 on FX and or Hulu. Okay, quick spark of the week from me. It's still Pride Month. Did you notice that? It's literally Pride Month for the whole month of June. Thrilling, isn't it? So, as a special little Pride treat, I rewatched a movie called The Incredibly True Adventures of Two Girls in Love. I mean, the title pretty much tells you everything you need to know, but it's essentially a first love story between two high school girls. And it's the cutest. It's extremely 90s and extremely low budget, but it's also incredibly sweet and heartwarming. So give it a little watch if you can find it. And that is about it for this week. You can follow me on social media at Spark Parade. You can also give the show a little 5-star rating in Apple Podcasts, and it'll really help the show. You can keep your little 4-star and below reviews to yourself. Thank you very much. And until next time, bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.